Hour number two, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game. Taking your thoughts on our phone and text lines, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. We are live from our Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service.
Which one of us said 6 or 7 yards?
I think you did.
Josh says that was intentional. I like it. I swear to God.
I don't know what these kids are doing nowadays.
It was a stupid whatever the hell they're doing. Sorry, did you like that, Ian?
Need to get that video clipped up.
Wait, what is this?
6'7".
No, I did not. Maybe subconsciously, Josh, maybe that is like in my head somewhere.
I didn't know that was a thing until about 2 weeks ago. I was like, okay.
It's so dumb. Like, have you seen some of these things?
This
is rant-worthy where it's just like, oh, my God. Oh, if this free throw makes it, they'll have 67 points. Yeah. And the whole crowd does this stupid thing where they're juggling huge balls. What is this dance?
I don't know.
Right? Like, I don't know. What the hell is this?
Clip that one up, too.
I mean, it's so dumb. Maybe it is stuck way back in my head, Josh. And it's just, I'm going to try not to ever do that again.
All right, before I lose control, let's go to the phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Welcome in, Mark in Nashville, to the program. Mark, good morning. Thank you for calling in. Save us.
Yeah, how you doing, Robbie? How you doing, Joe? Good morning, fellas.
Doing good, man. How you doing?
All right, doing okay. Joe, you know, I hear you talking about Cam Ward, you and Robbie this morning. He is going to be the quarterback, 26, 27, 28, beyond. But, and I know he's struggling really bad. And like Robbie said, man, that team is just terrible. Management-wise, with Brinker and them, it's just a terrible organization. But I want to see Robbie and Joe, if y'all agree with me on what I'm getting ready to say. Because you've heard me say this several times. They had an opportunity to become a better team when you drafted Staronsky. He could have traded back, got picked. Latham could have traded back, got picked. You shouldn't have took Cam last year, man. You should have took that time to trade, and you could have got a whole lot of picks this year and next year. So, I mean, the opportunity has presented itself for the Titans to become a good organization. They just didn't utilize it, and they just didn't do it like they should have done it. And this year they'll probably be drafted number one again. They don't need to just grab a pick. They need to trade that pick back as many times as they can and get all the players they can get with it. That's the only way the narrative is going to change for this organization. If they keep doing what they're doing, they're never going to get to where they need to get to doing what they're doing. Because Cam, he just has nothing around. The offensive line hasn't been great. I think Staronsky and Latham have both been bust-type players. They're not doing what they're supposed to do, being drafted as high as they are. And that's just my opinion on it this morning, Joe. But, Joe, you know, I'm glad you called PPK, punt, pass, and kick, Paul Kahersky, Mr. Magoo, because he looks like Mr. Magoo. You're right about that.
Thank you.
But, hey, fellas, have a good day. I just wanted to get that in, but I don't know if y'all agree with me on that. But, Robbie, they say they're trying to accumulate so many picks and so many players on the roster. They're going to have to do that, man, in order to get to where – you can't live and die with free agency. They don't have enough money to do that. So they're going to have to figure out something if they're ever going to become a top-notch organization. Y'all have a good morning, man.
Thank you, Mark. Appreciate you, man.
Thanks, Mark.
All right. See you, Joe.
Yeah, I mean, I agree. I mean, remember, you know, and there's some other text to the effect of, like, the trading back thing. Remember, like, when you're at number one, you almost for sure you have that opportunity. And, yes,
yeah.
Yes, they should have last year. Yes. And this year, they should, 100%. Yeah, when you're taking Skronsky at 11, you're taking Latham at 7, you don't necessarily have the opportunity to trade back. Someone has to need to get into that spot to give you the opportunity, right? Like, it's not just an automatic thing you can just say, let's trade back. I mean, why does someone want to get to 7? Why does someone – and I don't remember. You tell me. I don't remember reporting around anyone trying to get into those spots at the time.
I do not.
Doesn't mean it didn't happen, but yep. It also doesn't mean it did. It's not a sure thing.
No.
But, yes, in general, I agree with the sentiment. I mean, picks – good picks, smart picks, not bad picks. Good players, not bad players. Not bad teams.
Look, they need a ton of picks, and they also need a ton of good players, right? And sometimes those two things don't line up, right?
Yeah. You still, like, free agency is always going to be a part of this. It's always going to be important, too. You got to do that well, too.
Well, and I'm just, you know, I understand the idea. Like, it's Mark's not the first one I've heard say it of, well, trade back and then trade back again. It's like, well, that's great. But, like, you know, you trade back the first time to four or five or whatever it is, you may want to take the player that's sitting there at four right. or five, right? Like, you need some of those guys.
Yeah.
To build a franchise around.
Don't forget, you know, 16 to 20 or whatever it is guys every year who actually have a like first round grade sometimes, right? Yeah. And sometimes there's a top tier of player where it's like there's three or four guys who are like, okay. And again, sometimes they end up being bust too, but right. they are evaluated as that is a top tier of player. That is a premium player. Okay, get a premium player. Would it also be good to get three or four really good ones? Sure. Any of that would be good for this team. They need so much.
Let's head back to our phone line. Welcome in Tim to the program. Tim, good morning. Thank you for calling in.
Good morning, guys. You know, we're talking about getting more draft picks for the Titans. You really want to do that with our draft history? Because the more picks you give us, the more mistakes we're going to make.
Well, what's the alternative? Well, not getting any players?
Yeah, fold the franchise?
Well, no,
so fold the franchise.
But history, if you don't learn from history, you're repeating.
But the history is okay, those picks are made by people who have been fired and aren't here anymore. You know what I mean? I mean, it's like it's different people, except for the last draft.
We don't know. Well, the last draft, you know, Brinker is still supposedly in control.
Well, that,
you know,
well,
people say.
Except for him.
And I was getting to the point. We don't know how much input he has. Was this all this last draft? Was it Bergonzi or did Brinker have a lot to do? We don't know. And if it, you know, I'm before giving Bergonzi a chance, but, I mean. Who was the best draft pick we got last year? Was it Cam?
Oh, I don't know. It needs to be Cam.
Right, I would say the best value is DK, right? A fourth-round pick, what he's doing.
So far,
he's probably their best pick so far, yeah.
Well, and that could be too. But then what about the other seven or eight picks we had? There's really no – we didn't get a lot. And the deal with Cam, and I still – I don't blame all this on Cam because – for one thing, he don't have anybody around him. You know, we don't have a good running back. We don't have receivers. We can't keep them healthy if we do get them. And the offensive line was supposed to be a strength. They played like crap. And we're going to get him killed if they don't do something. But Cam is still – the one thing, one positive I can see between him and Levis is at least he ain't throwing it to the other team and letting them score.
That's true. Thank you, Tim. Appreciate the call.
All right, guys. Bye.
Thanks, Tim. Yeah, I mean, look. We've done this a few times. I would say right now, like yesterday, ups and downs, not great. You're not thrilled with Cam Ward's play. Do we feel right now that Cam Ward at this point is better than Levis at the same point last year? I would.
Yeah. Now, again, that's not what you're shooting for.
No. No.
No, I'm with you. But the bar has got to raise around here in terms of, like, that's why you do trade back. You got to get players in. You got to turn this roster over. This roster's bad, man. It's bad. And, yeah, look, this is a situation where a lot of things at the same time can be true. I think they were a very poorly coached football team. I think Brian Callahan did a bad job. I also think the roster is bad, and the roster's gotten worse throughout the year because they keep trading people away, and they're dealing with injuries at the moment. So they're a horrific football team right now, just bad. And the fact that they're getting the defensive performances – that they're getting on a weekly basis based on where they're at corner right now and where they're at edge rusher, it's kind of amazing to me the way that they're playing on the defensive side of the ball. So I'm with you. Like, Denard Wilson deserves some credit there, but they're just a bad team. Like, they're a bad, bad football team right now. And this is going to take – like, it's going to take a while. I think we all know that. But a big step of that is, like, can you find a way to get – you got to hit on some of those picks. And I understand, like, Tim's not the only Titans fan that I heard that from in terms of, like, the history of the team. But that's how you do it. Like, that's the only way out of this is to make good selections in the draft.
Yeah. I mean, it was like when John Robinson was GM and they – you know, it's like they had the Isaiah Wilson pick and then they had the Caleb Farley pick. And it was like, you know, whenever we talk about, you know, trading for this pick or that, they go, Well, why would we want that? We're just going to screw it up. And I'm like, okay, well, then just fire the GM, which they did, actually. So after giving the huge extension, great job.
That's true.
But, and that's where, I mean, even Karski gets too much into, like, their history of, like, receivers who come in old. It's like, yeah, that's fine. But, you know, again, if you have a different front office and different, totally different, I mean, you have the same ownership, but you have a different front office. Now, to his point, that's the thing, though, is that Brinker has been here for all this. And Brinker, I mean, I think they've made pretty clear that Bergonzi's in charge, that Bergonzi
of the roster.
Is in charge of the roster. I believe that. Does that mean Brinker couldn't veto whatever he wanted at any point? No, I mean, I guess he probably could. If you're going to do that and you're going to cut your GM off at the knees, you're really going to be in a world of hurt, though.
Okay.
And I think he gets that.
Yeah. 615-737-1025, our phone number. Titans lose 16-13 to the Houston Texans. More your thought to get to on that. We will get into some college football later in the hour. Not a great weekend for Vanderbilt on the college football playoff front. We will get into that a little bit later as well. All that ahead, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game. Chase and Big Joe will be broadcasting live at the all-new Circus Sportsbook Kentucky in the Mint Gaming Hall today, prior to the Monday Night Football game. Titans, not the Titans on Monday Night Football. It's the Cowboys and the Raiders. Thank God the Titans aren't on Monday Night Football tonight.
I mean, it's not much of an upgrade, but it's a little better, I guess.
Big fantasy football implications. You're within shouting distance of me.
Yeah, well, I was in great position to beat you, but like Amon-Ra St. Brown all of a sudden can't catch the football and whatever, man.
Taking your thoughts on the Titans. Keith on the text line says, one thing that has improved since firing Callahan, they aren't finding bizarre, dumb ways to lose. They're losing normally. It's from Keith on the text
line. There you go.
Normal losses.
Yeah, exactly. I like that.
Man.
We could use a little weird, though, maybe, right? Like Mike McCoy, do something, man.
One text
run a reverse.
Pretty rude of you all to play a commercial with a father and a son celebrating a touchdown when you're talking about the Titans. We apologize. They did score one yesterday, which is basically, you know, I said it to begin the show, yesterday's game in some ways felt like just, you know, you could put on the tape and really play almost any game from the last 3 years, and it just kind of all feels the same.
It does.
One touchdown and 13 points, and that's about what it's been over the last 3 years.
Man, we got some takes today, man.
Do we?
We got some takes. Mark H. on the text line, driven by WilsonGuyana.com. Should Cam even be playing right now and risk major injury? The season's done. Let him hold a clipboard and learn at this point. If he's the future, let's not take a chance on him getting hurt. Well, the whole point, Mark, is people don't know if he's the future. He's going to be the near future because you don't draft a quarterback number one overall and then just immediately give up on him unless he's like –
really bad.
Yeah, like siphoning gas out of teammates' trucks in the parking lot. Like he's but is he the future? Like this is when you play football and try to get better and try to show people that you have a chance, which is hard for him because the team around him sucks. And they probably should have their gas siphoned out of their trucks.
If he was siphoning gas out of his teammates' trucks in the parking lot, like
Big Jeff's monster-ass truck.
I'd think that would be pretty resourceful. Like I'd be happy with that for my quarterback. Look at my quarterback figuring some stuff out over here.
Yeah.
You ever need any gas, just call the QB.
You could do it punitively. I feel like Jeff Simmons might like treat Latham's car like one of those, you know, cars at the fair, the county fair, you take a sledgehammer to it. I don't know how we've gotten onto car like Titans car violence, but here we are.
By the way, a lot of people asking about this on the text line, so I will very quickly address it before we take Neil's call. Predators lost yesterday 4-0. A whole lot of people asking about whether or not Andrew Burnett's going to get fired. I don't know. I've said it multiple times last week. If you're looking for a time in the schedule to make a move, this would be a pretty good one. They don't play again until Saturday. So I will leave it at that. We will get into that throughout the week, I'm sure. But
yeah, so traditionally, this would be a potential time. I would bet it's not happening, but I don't know anything.
Yeah. So, I mean, they did win one game. Forsberg got a goal. Yeah. Stamkos wins it in overtime. I mean, so they didn't get swept over the weekend.
Split's not bad. The performance in the second game was.
Not very good. Not very good. So we will keep our eye on that for sure, and we will get into that a little bit later in the week. Let's welcome in Neil to the program. Neil, good morning. Thank you for calling in.
Good morning, guys. How are y'all?
Doing good, buddy.
Good.
To me, Cam Ward is like Jelly Roll's Goodnight's Great Prices. They're not very good. That I pay $30 for a beer and a drink on Saturday night.
That's a lot.
Yeah, it was really stupid. But I don't think he's very good. He's not accurate. And everybody talking about the offensive line, it's way better than it was last year. There's been plenty of times Cam has had 5 to 6 or 7 seconds to throw, and he's waiting for that deep route. And then even when he tries to throw it short, he's usually off foot. It's not very good.
Thank you, Neil. Appreciate it.
Trade back. Try to get as many picks as you can and try to set him up. But here's my hot take. Are y'all ready for this?
I'm ready.
Levis takes his job by midseason next year.
Here we go. There we go.
Mic drop. Thank you.
Thank you, Neil. Appreciate it. A lot of Will Levis talks the last couple of days, I've noticed.
God, is that
gonna
possible?
Be on the
I mean, I have not thought so.
Is he going to be on the roster? I don't know.
I haven't believed so. But, hey, maybe that's the answer. But competition. Titans
fans, get excited.
You got the Mayo Man and We Ass. Let's go. Someone texted We Swamp Ass today, which is quite a...
let's welcome Larry into the program now. Larry, good morning. Thank you for calling in.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Good, buddy.
Hey, one of the things I want to talk about is the Titans draft picks the last several years, even in history, the scouting department, are these the picks the scouting department's recommending to these general managers and why they've been so bad? Are we getting rid of any of those guys? What's the turnover ratio like for the scouting department? Because the Titans are always that one team that always takes these chances on these guys that a lot of guys don't even have on their board. I'll hang up and listen.
Thank you, Larry. Appreciate it.
I don't know if that last part's quite true, but it's a good question about that. And yeah, we've talked some about it, right?
Yeah.
There hasn't been
as much turnover as you would think for a team that's as bad as they've been the last few years.
Yeah, there probably should be more. I think there may be more. You know, the way this works is once you're in the season and everything, you know, those guys are going to – the people there are going to be all the way through the next draft, and then you would, you know, make your changes post-draft. But, yeah, I mean, I think that's a fair thing. And it's so – you just don't know. Sometimes you always hear about scouts standing on a table for somebody. Again, the famous story here that we've talked about, that I've written about The Athletic, which is Blake Bedingfield basically just – absolutely standing on multiple tables saying, guys, we got to take Derrick Henry.
Yeah.
And they were not going to do it. And they did it. And it's pretty good. That goes on John Robinson's record. That's a plus on John Robinson's record. You know, but frankly, like it took Bedingfield and then it took Mike Mularkey to join forces with Bedingfield to finally get him to do it. But these things happen all the time. Ultimately, it's on the GM, the good and the bad. But you got to have good scouting. We've talked about with the Preds, too. It's like if you have a consistent issue drafting forwards for decades, where in the process does change need to happen?
Yeah.
And I think with the Titans, yeah, I would say it makes sense to get some new people in there. And obviously they've changed over the top of the front office a lot, other than Brinker.
And you know, we mentioned earlier, Calvin Ridley, broken leg, he's going to be out for the rest of the year. Probably done as a Titan. We'll see what that looks like as they move forward here. We all understand they got to find a number one receiver somewhere. I would argue, like, we know that Io Manor and DK are going to be a part of the receiving core next year. I mean, beyond that, I mean, I have no idea. They're bringing Van Jefferson back. We'll see. But you need, to me, a young stud receiver in the draft. You probably need to go in and bring in a veteran in free agency some way, somehow, to add to the room. So there's a couple things you need at wide receiver. And, you know, somebody's talking about Jeremiah Love on the text line. I don't know if it necessarily has to be him, but the more you look at it, it's like they got to find a running back. Like, they got to find a running back that is a good player for them because their running game is the worst in the National Football League.
Yeah. Right now, you could do that in free agency. That happens. I mean, look, Pollard was a good pickup.
Sure.
It's just like he just appears,
it was 1 year.
Appears to be out of gas now. But, yeah, hey, Jeremiah Love, yeah, he's going to be good in the NFL. Yes. But I mean, how can you use a pick on him given the other needs? I mean, you just have to see how it shakes out. The other needs are extreme. You know, we talk about the draft of these guys. I continue to go back to the guy we just forgot about because he's been hurt and everything. But Oladejo, like, do the people here and the new coaching staff think that he's going to be any kind of a player who can do anything for you as a starter? Because if not, then that's desperate. I mean, even if you think he's going to be good, it's still a desperate need. But it's really urgent if he's not going to work out. And that's a big problem with that first draft for Mike Borgonzi.
615-737-1025 is our phone number. 615-737-1025. We will continue to take your thoughts on the Titans throughout the show. Corey Curtis is coming up at 8 o'clock. We will get into some college football coming up next. It was not a great weekend for the Vanderbilt Commodores, and they didn't even play. We'll get into that. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 the game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 the game. We have the Rob Rant coming up at 7:45. Got a lot of things to discuss in the Rob Rant.
Your guy, your best friend.
A couple of them.
Yeah, that's right.
Looking forward to it. Taking your thoughts in the meantime, 615-737-1025. Joe, not a great weekend for the Vanderbilt Commodores on the college football playoff front, and they didn't even play. They were off this week. You know, we mentioned Friday some games of interest to watch, like obviously Oklahoma and Alabama. If you're a Vanderbilt fan, you're rooting for Alabama in that game. I mean, the one result that did go your way, Georgia and Texas. Texas got smoked by Georgia, so they're out at this point. But you needed, you know, I mentioned BYU, TCU. Like, could TCU go on the road and pull off the upset? Well, they got destroyed by BYU. You know, Miami gets a win as well. South Florida lost, which is lost to Navy. Tough one there.
Yep.
So
they're out.
Not a great weekend on the Vanderbilt front. Utah gets the win. They destroy Baylor on the road, 55-28. Notre Dame gets the win against Pittsburgh in a game that really wasn't all that competitive. So a lot of the things that you hope to have happen this weekend, you know, could Notre Dame lose to Pittsburgh? Could Oklahoma get that third loss against Alabama and you could knock them out? Well, Oklahoma wins against Alabama, which puts them at 8-2. And not only puts them at 8-2, gives them a massive win on the road in the plus category for them. So, you know, I mentioned this to you before the show. I don't know if it's going to come down to this or not. And look, Oklahoma's playing so well right now that they may just win out and be 10-2 anyway. But even if they suffer another loss, like, it's going to be interesting. Like a 9-3 Oklahoma with the schedule that they've played and the wins that they have compared to a 10-2 Vanderbilt, they will have that conversation. I promise you. Like, that will be a conversation in the room. So what do you make of how this weekend kind of shook out for Vanderbilt?
Yeah, the Oklahoma in particular, that's tough. I didn't foresee it. Well, we all picked Bama, -5.5 in that game. It stunned me, and I watched most of it, and you have to tip your cap to Oklahoma. They have shaken this thing up big time. You know, because now Bama, now that's the thing. You know, there's always some sort of outcome, you know, that maybe, you know, from these games that could change other things, including Bama now. I mean, they're, you know, they've got two losses. I mean, they've looked like a complete lock, you know. Could Auburn shock them? There's one thing that if you're Vanderbilt, you're rooting like heck for. Because right now, in the projected field, there are five SEC teams, and Vanderbilt's not one of them. Oklahoma has, I mean, they've risen in there. And if you were going to have one of these outcomes, we talked about how you want the home favorites to win. You would have rather flipped this the other way around and have Texas win at Georgia. At least then, like, that loss to Texas looks better. I mean, instead they get destroyed.
Yeah.
They're done. But, yeah, this is hurt for sure. Now, there's still a lot of things, a lot of games to go. But I know – I was trying to find the numbers because I know we had a conversation where, you know, Austin Mock does our projections. I know that his Oklahoma percentages shot up from last week. Vanderbilt had a higher percentage chance of getting the playoff going into the weekend. Oklahoma's shot up, and he has them at 52% now to make the playoffs. Vanderbilt's went down significantly. I think they were both in like the 20s, and Vanderbilt was a little bit ahead of them. Vanderbilt now is at 15% to make the playoffs. And again, with probabilities, I mean, I still think right now, I think it's going to be tough for Vanderbilt to win at Tennessee, and so it's going to be a moot point. I also still think that if they get that win at Tennessee, especially if Tennessee is a ranked win for them, which is going to be the case if Tennessee wins at Florida, then Vanderbilt's going to be sitting there, and there's going to be a lot of conversations, and they're going to be right in those conversations. But, yeah, it was definitely a bad – I mean, Oklahoma has shaken this up. And if you're the committee, you're looking at Oklahoma – I mean, you sit here and say, like, what if John Mateer never got hurt?
Yeah.
You know, that kind of derailed. Like, Texas smoked them. You know, we forget that. That was a few weeks ago.
Well, and Mateer played in the game, but that was his first game back, yes. And he clearly was not healthy.
Right. He had just come back. So, I mean, right now, you look at, if you want to talk about percentages, you know, to make the playoff – I mean, Ohio State, 99, more than 99. Indiana, more than 99. Texas A&M, we'll get to them, more than 99. Texas Tech, 99 plus. Georgia, 98. Ole Miss, 96. Notre Dame killing Pittsburgh, bad for Vanderbilt. Notre Dame, 96%. How many teams is that right there? That is, so that's seven teams that are basically locks to get in. And then you start getting into like Bama and Oklahoma. And so, you know, so look, like Auburn beating Alabama, that's one of those things that you have to root for. The teams right now ahead of Vanderbilt on the bubble, according to Austin Mock, BYU, Virginia, Utah, SMU, USC. Some of them are going to get knocked out of the way. I think USC probably gets bounced.
You need USC to get smoked this week by Oregon.
Probably get bounced. I mean, if they lose, they're not going to get in. If they have a third loss, because they don't really.
They're not that good.
Yeah, they don't really. I mean, their best. I'm trying to think of. They beat Michigan, you know, but Michigan's not good either. So that's, you know, you need a lot of help now. But I mean, look, beat Kentucky, because Kentucky's going to come in here playing tough football, playing Kentucky defense. And then hope you get some help. And then if you can pull off the Tennessee win, it's going to be interesting.
Well, the thing is, like, BYU, I mean, they got destroyed by Texas Tech. But they get the big win this past weekend. And now you're looking at it, and they're on the road this week at Cincinnati. Well, Cincinnati just got beat. And then they're home against UCF. I mean, they could lose either one of those games, but.
Well, they could certainly lose that. Cincinnati's pretty good.
They are.
Like, Utah killed them at home, but they have a good quarterback, Brendan Sorensby. That's a big game. You need Cincinnati to take care of that business at home.
Yep, which is Saturday night at 7 o'clock on that one, too. So, not a great weekend on the Vanderbilt front when it comes to the college football playoff. Now, I still think at the end of the day, if they win the next two games and get to 10-2, my guess is there will be enough that happens around the country where they'll get in. But, boy, they didn't get any help this weekend. Yeah. It was crazy. Like I thought, you know, factoring in Oklahoma, obviously, I thought they're going to lose to Alabama, and that would take care of itself.
Yeah, they would be out.
And that now that they've won that game, and I know that they've got Missouri and LSU both at home to finish out the season. So, look, crazier things have happened than Missouri or LSU beating Oklahoma on the road. But they just went on the road back-to-back and beat Tennessee and Alabama. That's pretty good stuff.
No doubt. From Oklahoma. Yeah. So, yeah, Vanderbilt fan, you're a huge fan of Missouri and LSU. I mean, if they lose both, they're definitely out. Like you said, Robbie, I mean, if they lose one of them, boy, that's going to be an interesting conversation, you know, between Oklahoma and Vanderbilt. 9-3 Oklahoma, 10-2 Vanderbilt. That would be a Tennessee Vanderbilt that, like Oklahoma, got a win at Tennessee. But obviously Vanderbilt doesn't have the win at Bama to show.
Well, and for Bama, could it end up being a good thing? Like you said, I mean, if you lose to Auburn, which it's the Iron Bowl, it's crazy that we've seen crazy stuff happen in that game. You lose to Auburn, you're out at that point.
Yeah.
But with the way that this is now shaking out, I mean, Ole Miss and A&M look like they're going to be the ones playing in the SEC title game, and you may get to bypass that. If you're Alabama at this point, it may end up working out okay for them. We'll see.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, but I just – that was a stunner.
It was a bad game from Simpson. Like, he missed some throws that he normally doesn't miss.
Yeah, I mean, I think the Heisman there is probably kind of moved on, you know.
Another pick six for Oklahoma.
Yeah.
Yeah.
A long one.
Their defense is good, man.
Nolensville's own Taylor Wine out there absolutely causing havoc. He was all over the field.
Let's head to our phone line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Welcome in Ryan to the program. Ryan, good morning. Thank you for calling in.
What's going on, guys? How are y'all?
Good, man.
Good.
I got a draft prediction that the Titans need to do. They need to take Jeremiah Love. He's a potential Heisman finalist. And if they can upgrade a running back and trade some of their fifth-round picks that they traded to trade up and get Jeremiah Love and then trade down and get a good defensive end, maybe the Texas A&M defensive lineman or the Miami defensive lineman. That would be the ideal draft, hitting the lottery for sure if they could get both those picks.
Thank you, Ryan. Appreciate it. Well, I'll say, look, I don't know exactly where Jeremiah Love is going to go. He's going to be in first round. He's going to be a first-round running back. Now, then you get into, okay, well, it's running back. How high do you pick a running back? I mean, we just saw Ashton Jeanty go pretty high to the Raiders. He's a stud. Like, he's really good. The fifth-round picks aren't going to do you any good when it comes to trading for For Jeremiah Love?
You can try to package about 10 of them.
I mean, the way you could get him is trade out a number one, and then he's there wherever you – you know, and then you pick up your receiver and your edge rusher later in the draft. But if you trade out of the number one overall pick, are you going to take a running back with like a top 10 pick at that point? I mean, if you think he's by far the best player, then I guess do it.
Yeah. I mean, I wouldn't think so. I would think that there'd be some, you know, obviously you got some of these, like Reuben Bain, of course. Like how far does, you know, where does he go? Probably top five. Yeah, where you fall. Look, if the top player on your board, I wouldn't be angry about it. Again, people – maybe including me, had some fun at the Detroit Lions' expense when they took Jahmyr Gibbs, what, 12 or whatever?
Yeah.
I mean, was that a mistake? No. No, it's not a mistake. If you have a game – I think Jeremiah Love he's going to be a special player in the NFL.
615-737-1025 is our phone number. We got the Rob Rant coming up next. Corey Curtis from News 2 will join us at 8 o'clock. We will get into all things Tennessee Titans with him. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025 The Game.
Don't make me angry.
Sometimes you have to tell someone to pound sand.
You wouldn't like me when I'm angry.
This is the Rob Rant.
Now
on Robbie and Rex Road.
102.5 The Game. You come for sports takes, you stay for gout updates.
Dart free, but I had a lot of beverages and food.
Having said that, to say that I'm hurt for our guys is a understatement. I know the rest of the country was surprised with what was going on in the first half. We weren't.
Jackass.
They think you're some buffoon.
Nobody came into the locker room at halftime celebrating, thinking the game was over.
The whole crowd does this stupid thing where they're juggling huge balls. What is this dance?
It is time for the Rob Rant, brought to you by Functional Medicine of Tennessee. Rise up to better health. Check them out at functionalmedicineoftennessee.net. Some beautiful stuff from Rex Road on today's edition of the Robbie and Rex Road program.
Just coming right out with a lot of fodder for you on a Monday morning.
That's what you do. That is what you do. So let's start on the Beamer front here, because first off, objectively hilarious. They were up 30-3, and they end up losing that game. Blew a 27-point lead to Texas A&M. I mean, I was stunned that they got up that much to begin with, but the fact that they in the second half blew that lead is just absolutely hilarious. South Carolina fans are just irate, as they should be, with Shane Beamer. There was something he said, though, in that opening montage. And, Ian, could I set this up, or am I putting you on the spot where we could play this again?
I'll get it ready real quick.
Okay.
Sure.
Yeah. There was something he said there that is hilarious. So if you saw the game, you saw South Carolina. I mean, look, everything was going right for them in the first half. They were playing well. It looked like they were about to walk into Texas A&M and just destroy them and give Texas A&M, you know, to this point, what would be described as an inexplicable loss. But as I saw a bunch of, like, Texas fans and everybody having fun with this on Saturday, like, it's kind of what Texas A&M does, right? Like, they get off to a hot start, they play well, and then they just absolutely choke at some point in the season. And that's basically been kind of like the history of their program. And it looked like it was trending that way. Shane Beamer running off the field at halftime. He's throwing the hands up in the air. He's trying to get the crowd pumped up. He's like, look at what we just did in the first half. And this is what he said in the postgame after they blew a 27-point lead to Texas A&M.
Having said that, to say that I'm hurt for our guys is a understatement. I know the rest of the country was surprised with what was going on in the first half. We weren't. If you've been watching us play all season, I mean, we had great confidence coming into this game. We fully expected to be in this game, fully expected to be a four-quarter game. And certainly we got off to a great start. We had great confidence. I get it. Our record is what it is. But our guys also understood this is, you know, we won this game by 24 points last year. And we had great confidence coming into this game for a lot of reasons, because there's a lot of players that played out there today that were in that game last season. And, you know, like the game last season, we were up. They came back, took the lead. And then we scored 24 straight in the second half. And then today we were up, you know, they came back and they were able to finish it. So What a heck of a first half. Like I said, we weren't surprised. Nobody came into the locker room at halftime celebrating, thinking the game was over, thinking that we could just go out there and coast in the second half. We talked about it at halftime. The scoreboard is irrelevant. Our whole mentality today was coming in here and dominating. And when you're dominating, you don't, you know, look at the scoreboard. When you're trying to dominate something, you just keep going, and that's what we talked about. But, you know, in the second half, just really disappointed with the way that we, you know, performed.
Nobody came into the locker room celebrating, is what he said.
Hey, bud, there's video of you walking into the locker room celebrating. Do we not see this?
Talking trash.
South Carolina tweeted it out. He's running into the locker room, throwing his hands up, yelling at the crowd. He's like, "Ooh, look at what we did."
Well, he's talking trash to the Texas A&M fans.
Yeah, it just eats. Nobody was celebrating. There's video of you celebrating, running into the locker room. And this, I rest my case once and for all, is why he is an absolute clown. I hope they keep him because they got Tennessee on the schedule next year. I very much look forward to that. I hope he doesn't get fired. South Carolina fans, hope he does after the game. I mean, it was the first team in SEC history to blow a 27-point lead, I believe.
Is that right?
That was a tough one.
I mean, it's amazing how the wheels have fallen off for him. And, you know, I'm not quite as nails on the chalkboard reactive to Shane Beamer like you are, but he is a goober. I mean it is like just sort of like a petulant child sometimes.
Yeah,
you know, just and which again, it's like if you're winning and whatever and some of the goofy TikToks, so that's fine, you know, you make fun of it, but it's a hey man, you guys win. Once you start losing and doing all that stuff, and again, you're having this terrible season, and you should absolutely know what you said you told your team. I don't doubt that he told his team that, but they also, I'm sure a lot of them saw him like doing
There's
what he
video
did.
Of you, you coming, moron,
coming into the locker room, acting like that. Just, so
like
he deserved
I thought
it,
of
man.
Could you? And people were talking about this at the time, and people bring up this example too much. I get it. Can you imagine Nick Saban like running into the locker room doing what Shane Beamer was doing up 30-3 at halftime?
Well, no. I mean, I can't imagine him doing a lot of things.
Yeah.
But, yeah. No. Most coaches would not do that.
Can you imagine Josh Heupel doing it?
No. I mean, most coaches would not act like him at all. Like, there are times when it's just like
– crazy. Yeah. Clark Lee running there. Like, yeah! Come on! Yeah. It's halftime, bub. 30 minutes left to play. I mean, there's a lot of things from that game. We can talk about the, you know – the state trooper or whatever it was.
Oh, yeah.
After the kid.
Yeah, not
good
great.
Stuff.
Not great there, buddy.
Good stuff on that front. I do want to pivot real quickly to another one that I don't have a lot of time for, but we'll go ahead and do it. So, the Boo Carter era is over at Tennessee. Not a surprise if you've been listening to this program. It feels like he quit a long time ago, and now it's officially done. He put this statement out there, said, "I'd like to take this opportunity to thank the University of Tennessee coaches, administrators, fans for a wonderful 2 years. Unfortunately, my season has been cut short due to injury. I've decided to enter the transfer portal, and I'm excited about the opportunities going forward." So we're going with the injury thing. He wasn't on the sideline on Saturday. Heupel clearly doesn't want to talk about it all that much. He said that basically after the game Saturday, there are standards that you have to meet. He did not meet them and therefore was not with us. And he did not want to talk about it after the game. I'm sure it's going to come up a lot today in the press conference. I'm interested to see how he handles that. I guess where I'm coming from on this, Joe, is like, if you want to transfer, whatever, like that's the era that we're in college football, that's fine. I don't, for the life of me, understand the thought process, the mindset of the way he handled all of this year. Going back to the offseason where I guess he just wasn't showing up to stuff, he got into trouble and basically didn't participate in training camp for a while. He finally got out there on the field. He was horrific on the field this year. He's bad. Bad player on the field. And we know that he's got talent. Like, we've seen it. He's got the ability to be a good football player. He was horrible for Tennessee this year. I don't understand the thought process of, well, I know I'm going to leave at the end of the year. You can know that. You still have to put good tape out there. Like, you're doing nothing but hurting yourself if you're just going to quit, which is what he did, by the way. Like, he quit. And it's clear teammates didn't love it.
No.
He quit on Tennessee.
Yeah.
So I don't understand for the life of me that thought process. You're doing nothing but hurting yourself when you're putting as bad a tape as he put out there this year. So I think this is addition by subtraction. I think it's a good thing, Tennessee. Get him out, and we'll see where they go from here. A
couple of things real quick on that. One is, you know, I think some of the players were disappointed they let him back in the first place.
Yes.
And I think that's something that Josh Heupel needs to look at and say, did you hurt the chemistry of this team because of his talent? You know? I mean, at the time, I agreed with it. It's like, yeah, I mean, Boot Carter could be a huge difference maker for this team. But that is one of those things where it's like, once you get through all this crap, what was the benefit? What was the cost? And I'd say you might regret you should have just
in retrospect, they'd have been better off without him.
Yeah. And then, yeah, it's so ridiculous to see this whole thing play out. And obviously there's the social media aspect with his mom too. But, man, you hope he figures it out. And I know Tennessee fans don't. They hope that he sucks so that they can, you know, trash him on social media. But, you know, you hope someone like that talented and young figures out, like, you are hurting yourself. Because clearly he doesn't get that right now.
Yeah.
You may be so talented it won't matter. He'll certainly – there'll be suitors.
Somebody's going to get him, yeah. I mean,
all that stuff. But, like, this is not how you want to go about your business.
I just – like, the play that will forever stick in my mind with him – is the Kentucky play this year where he just stopped running.
Incredible.
He just quit. And I was like, really? Like that was when I knew. I was like, they got to get him out of here.
I'd love to know what the film session was like on that play.
He just stopped running.
Because, like, like when they went through it with coaches and then in that position group, I mean, if he didn't get screamed at for that, then, like, then you can't let that crap happen in your program.
No. 615-737-1025. Is our phone number. Corey Curtis will be with us coming up next. We'll get into all things Tennessee Titans with him after a 16-13 loss to the Houston Texans yesterday. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game.